and welcome to the first episode of our International Agility Podcast. I'm super excited, but also very proud to have such a great person as first guest. She's one of the nicest and most personable women in the agility world I've talked to. She became individual world champion 3 times. She won the gold medal at European Open. She got several gold and silver medals with her teams at international competitions. And she won Czech national championships with different dogs many times. I think the list of her titles is much more longer in detail, but I will stop here and say hi and welcome Martina Magnoli-Klimesova.
Hi.
Thank you for being my first guest.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yes, you're welcome. So first of all, how are you in these crazy Corona times?
Well, I think me and my family, we are really lucky because we live in a wonderful countryside. So we don't feel much the effect of the COVID. We are again in the lockdown. So we are the red zone again. We cannot move. So, I'm missing agility, of course. I mean, I'm missing competition. I'm missing the freedom, you know, that you can go where you want. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm thankful that our family can still have quite nice life. And Remy was our son, Remy. So mostly he was going to the school. Now he is the first time for 14 days. He's on an online education. And thanks to the fact there are just 8 children in a class, it's working quite well. So. I hope it finishes soon.
Yes, we all hope to go to normality. Martina, so before we start talking about your success, your titles, your training, just tell us something about your way to agility. So when did you start? How did you start? And what was your first dog?
Okay, I think it's a bit funny story. So I started with agility 25 years ago. Okay. I'm not so old. I was so young. And when I was 14, I got my first dog, and it was a Wolf Spitz. It's this type of the Spitz. I think she was 48 centimeter high, tall. Okay. So, and in that time, it was very common in Czech Republic that if you have a dog and you want to do something, you are going to a club. So it was very common to have a club close to every village.
Yeah.
But of course, in that time, so remember the time without internet and everything. So in that time, it was common to train the Schutzhund, or I don't know how to call it.
Yes.
And of course, with the Wolfspitz, it's not the best sport for Wolfspitz, of course.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's not the sport of my blood as well.
Yeah.
So I was going there, but mostly I was focused on like heel work, and I already trained a lot of tricks. So she was able to retrieve me keys or I don't know, whatever, and or other tricks. And of course, again, now everybody knows dog dancing, and you can Google it and you can get a lot of ideas from internet. But in that time, it was not so. And of course, I didn't speak English in that time so well. So I couldn't read the English books, and there were no books in Czech language about this like trick trainings or I don't know, dog dancing. And so I was going a little bit my way. Even I was going to the club to train with others. And then I read an article about agility. It was just a short article. I never, ever seen the agility before. I read this article because, again, remember 25 years ago. And I just fell in love with this sport. So even I didn't have the clear idea about the sport, I already felt that, wow, this is what I want to do with my dog. Mm-hmm. So I built my first obstacles at home alone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was a handy child. I was always the one who was who was helping the father when he was building something in the garden or similar. So I built equipment and I started to train my Wolfspitz Andy in the garden. But it was based on the short article. So I didn't have like clear idea about agility.
Okay.
And then I read somewhere that there is a competition close to the town or village where I left my parents, that there is the competition. So of course I didn't just come to watch it. I immediately entered. And yes, I have to admire my Wolfspitz now, because some of the obstacles she never saw before, and she was able to do them. Okay, she was not a very fast dog.
Yeah.
And I still remember the first small story, that there was a course walking. Course walk. But of course, I didn't understand what is the course walking.
So you entered without having any idea, any real idea. Okay, okay.
And there was, we had those big numbers, you know, so everybody can see that you have the number. And I was so proud to have a number like the others. And I saw that there is one lady and she has the Spitz as well, but she has the small one.
Okay.
In that time, it was just two categories, mini and standard. Mm-hmm. So she was in this mini category and I was running in standard. And so I asked her, so what are you doing now here? And she like, look at me. That I had the number, and I don't want to know what she was thinking this time. but she was so gentle. So I still remember who is the lady, and she explained me very gently that okay, this is a course walk, and we do this and that because of this and that. And if you compete, then maybe you are curious about some rules. So she told me the basic rules. And I was able to finish the course. So I was so proud. And I think I was able to do it with one mistake only, the one of the course.
Wow, that's super.
Yes. And I, of course, I didn't know that you can lead a dog on the right. You know?
Yeah.
So then I still remember how happy I was that day. Even I saw that maybe I should train a little bit differently I should train a little bit more. So I stopped to compete for half an year, and I have found a club not so far away from us where I could train. And then I found some new friends, and then with another person, we opened a club close to my house, the house of my parents. And so that started my agility career.
Wow, that's a crazy story.
Yes, it is.
But very brave to enter without, having seen it in real before.
Yes, I think you are young, you know, that's how we are now. I was a child, maybe I was 15. So, So, you know, that there are no limits, because nobody tells you that there are limits. So,
yes, right.
And at the end, it works perfectly. So, it worked. So, it was fine.
So after the Spitz, which dog came to you?
Yes. So, the Spitz, she was not really fast dog.
Yeah.
Course. She was a Spitz. She would prefer to sleep at home than to do something. And I did so many things with her, you know. So we did the tricks and dog dancing. We even won the very first dog dancing competition. It was the Czech Championship in Czech Republic. And we shared the first place with another lady. So me with the Spitz, we got the same points. And the judge of this competition, one of the judges, was a well-known dancer from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So I had really nice memories with my Spitz. But of course, for the dog dancing, she was really good. But for agility, you know.
Yeah.
Not so perfect statue and jumping so high and not so like energetic dog. So she taught, but I learned a lot with her. I learned mm-hmm. how to motivate the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of course, I was just at the beginning of my long journey. So I was still thinking about motivate the dog with the treats and toys. Okay, she didn't play.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I didn't know anything about this intrinsic motivation and about motivation with relationship and this stuff. But
yeah,
but I learned a lot thanks to her. And my second dog was Malinois.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so that I wanted to have a border collie.
Okay.
They were already some in Czech. They were few. But the problem was that they were very expensive. To buy border collie puppy, it was expensive.
Okay.
And I was allowed by my parents to get another dog when mm-hmm. I finished high school.
Yeah.
So I entered university. So in that time, I was allowed to get a new dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my parents about the price of border collie puppy, and I saw that they are not so convinced.
Yeah, okay.
And I have to say that it was really a lot of money.
Yeah.
And my parents, of course, they supported me, like, but they still think it's just, you know, you are just playing with dogs.
Yeah,
because
okay,
in that time, of course, it was not. Yeah. It was not common to be a dog trainer or to earn the money with this.
Yes.
So, you know, to put so much money in the dog, they didn't agree.
Yeah.
And I understand them. So
yeah, of course.
And then I met a lady with a Malinois at the competition, and that was the mother of my future puppy, because I said that if I can't have a border collie, this is a really good option.
Yeah.
And the price was like less than half of the price of border collie.
Okay, so that was okay then.
Yes. So it was still quite a lot of money, but yeah, that was accepted by my parents.
Yeah.
So that I got my second dog, and that was Malinois, and I called her Bara.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And she was so opposite to my Vollspitz, because she was so energetic.
Okay, I can imagine.
Yes, and she was like mix of the show line and working line. So she was not the, like, I don't want to say that she was not balanced, because she was quite okay, but she was a reactive dog.
Yeah.
Like she wanted to chase bicycles and children and these.
Okay.
So of course. Again, nowadays, you don't think it's difficult, because nowadays we have those working dogs, and a lot of them, they are reactive, and we know what to do with that, right?
Yeah.
But I was still not so
yeah, you didn't
educated,
have the experience.
You know?
Yes.
Yes, not yes. so experienced. And
yeah.
But I think that what was great with her, that she fell with love with me immediately. Okay, I fell in love with her, of course.
Yeah.
but yes, she was really very, very close to me from the very yeah. beginning. So we were able to go over these small problems quite easily.
Yeah.
And I have to say that my parents were a little bit shocked at the beginning. And my mother, she asked me gently after the first month, if I don't want to, like, give back the puppy. I paid so much money, and the dog is a bit strange, but but now I love there. And I was so happy, because I think I'm the person who see always the positives on the dogs.
Yeah.
And what I saw, I didn't see the problematic dog.
Yeah.
I saw the dog who is always full of energy,
okay,
and who always want to do something with me. Whatever
yeah.
I want to do, she's there. She wants.
Yeah.
She wants me to follow. Never tired. Never like. So you know, with the speed. So if you are going for a 1.5 hour walk, then it's hard to train. Like
mm-hmm.
if you go
okay.
in the morning, maybe you can do a few tricks, and that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then having a dog that you can go for a walk and you can go to swim and then you can take him and you can do the tricks and then yes. you can walk again. And the dog is like without any problems, you know?
Never tired, yes.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then we started with agility a bit later, not when she was a puppy, but when she was like 10, 11 months. So I started mm-hmm. a bit earlier than now, but still for luck, I didn't start too early. Yeah. And I was...
Did you have a trainer then, or did you everything on your own?
No, that was the problem. I have nobody to... I didn't find anybody to
okay.
to help me.
Yeah.
Because I think in that time, not many people were running on Malinois at agility.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still the time where the precision, like perfection, you know, the clean run was like more important than the speed in that time. Okay. Yeah. So when I started with my Mali, I was very happy on one side because finally I didn't need to support the speed. The speed was there. She was crazy. She was fast. Mm-hmm. But I realized that we are not able to do more than 2, 3, 4 obstacles in a row.
Okay, yeah.
She was running somewhere else than I wanted. And the only advice I got in that time was that I have to show her who is the boss, because she's doing what she wants and she yeah. doesn't listen to me and, you know, this stupid stuff. And for luck, even I was still quite young, I said that no way, because I'm so happy that she's fast. I don't want to press her to get slower. I don't think that's the way.
Yeah.
So instead of this, of listening to this, I was just thinking, so why she doesn't want, or why she doesn't run where I want? So the only reason is maybe she has no idea where to go. And because she's so fast, she even can't listen. To me, evening of my handling system.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so amazing that, you know, I built my handling system, like I tried something and if it was working, I kept it. When I tried something else, it was not working, I didn't keep it. So I changed a lot of things during, I don't know, 1 year. Like every 2 weeks, I wanted to add something new or I take out something, you know? And she was so amazing. She was so flexible. She was like, okay, so now we are going to do it in this way. And then, okay, mm-hmm. so now we are going to do it in that way. So yes, she helped me a lot to build the handling system I use now, of course.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Now so you really
yes.
learned it on your own. You tried different things and it was all your own idea and experience.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
It was so. And I'm really thankful that my first dog was so different from my second dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already learned that the dogs can be very, very different and that
yeah.
we need to have different approaches.
Yeah, okay.
For every single dog.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting. So very two different dogs in the beginning. And then one day Kiki came. Is that right?
Yes.
Was there a dog in between or was she the third dog?
No, they were two dogs in between.
Ah, two dogs, okay.
So I had a parson and she was great. I 1 year we were in the national team, but in the end we didn't start at the world championship because soon I realized that she's very ill. So she had the Addison disease and yeah. She almost died. We were able to save her And but since that, of course, you can live with the dog, you can go for walks, maybe train a bit, but it's not for competition when the dog is so ill. And then and then she was even more ill, so I lost her quite early. So she's my only dog who left me too early, I guess.
Yeah, the rest not of the because dogs, of the age, they,
yes, they yeah, normally okay. they stay with me more than 14 years, but she left earlier. And then the next one was again a Malinois, and it was Choice. I call her Choice. And I think that it was not really my choice. It was like I need to save her. So okay. I took her when she was more than 5 months old.
Yeah.
And she was not in the best conditions.
Yeah.
I don't mean she was tortured, but she was like closed somewhere in the garden. And once a day, somebody came to give her food, you know, to feed her. And they trained like IPO with her. But then I saw the videos and it was not the best for her for sure.
Okay.
And she was, even genetically, she was not the best choice ever. So she was a strange dog. She was very, very shy, like scared.
Yeah.
But it was impossible to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were going for a walk, and 10 times she was going with me, we are going for a walk, and 11th time we walked like 100 meters and then she turned back and escaped home.
Okay.
But I didn't hear any noise. I didn't see anything, you know?
So I,
of course, there had to be something that she had a reaction on, but I never ever realized that what is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, her problem was like something inside. She had a lot of problems. So she almost died, I think, in the first year, because we had so many problems with the diarrhea, vomiting. She didn't want to eat, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, I tried whatever the people told me, like, give the rest of the food to your other dog, and then you will see she will eat. No way. Mm. So it was like, thank you that you eat it for me.
Yeah, okay.
And then she was so skinny that when I was walking her in the town, one day somebody told me that I tortured the dog.
Yeah,
that they
okay.
can take out the dog for me because it's so skinny.
Yeah.
And I told them that if you give me advice how to make her, like, you know, to be in better condition, mm-hmm. you know, just tell me, I do everything, because I tried mm-hmm. whatever kibble, you know. It was like special ones, expensive ones, these, though, this, no, nothing was working.
Yeah.
So at the end, I find out that we have to try barf.
Okay.
And that saved her life, I guess.
Okay.
She changed. So since that, no problems with digestion anymore.
Yeah.
And we tried only with her, of course, at the beginning, because, okay, you read everywhere how the barf is dangerous because it will be not balanced and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the same they told me in university, of course. But, okay, if you have no other choice, of course, you try it. And then I saw the effect.
Yeah.
I saw the effect. And so it's 17 years I feed barf to all my dogs.
Oh, okay.
And or maybe 16 years, 17 years. I'm not sure. Okay,
yeah.
Not important. And yes, and she was a bit challenging dog because of her fears.
Yeah.
And what I did, of course, I think like a lot of people do, I tried to protect her. I mm-hmm. tried to help her, you know, make it easier and easier and everything even easier for her. And I see that it's not working because she didn't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met Susan Garrett on a San Carlo, my in that time, my future husband, he was translating the seminar. It was in Italian language, and he was translating from English to Italian.
Yeah.
And so I was there, and I took part, of course, of the seminar. And it was Susan Garrett who told me that if I want to help her being more confident, I should stop to help her so much.
Okay, yeah.
And it was not so easy at the beginning because, of course, Joyce, she learned the strategy, how to get out from not comfortable situation,
yeah,
like to be the loser, because the yeah. mama come and mama comes and mama save her.
Mm-hmm.
So if for, like, I don't know how old she is, but for years, I guess, it was the successful strategy. Of course, she didn't want to change it. But in 14 days, I had to be really strong, like not to help her and let her to solve some situations.
Yeah.
And she changed so much, so much that she became, after, I don't know, 2 months, she became a super family dog.
Okay.
Really easy peasy dog. And so I always think that you always have the dog at the moment that you really need.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, of course, I was a bit confused with Joyce because I expected that all the dogs are like, all the Malis are like Bara, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like my first Mali.
Yeah.
And Joyce was really challenging dog, both in the life and for the training. But then I realized that I learned so much thanks to the Joyce, that thanks to the Joyce, Kiki was so easy dog for me.
Yeah, okay.
And the second thing I realized was that Joyce was not born for me. So she was not mean to be my dog. She yeah. was just waiting for my son. So when my son was born, immediately she was with him.
Okay.
And they were the best friends till she died. So she died when she was 14 and a half years old.
Yeah.
So I think for a huge dog with spondylosis and all the first year problem with digestion, it was quite long life.
Yes, yes.
Happy life. And what she did was amazing. So from the very beginning, she was with him. And for example, he was, I don't know, 5 months old baby, and he was like on the floor on his mat, and she was there with him. And then he started to touch her and you know, to, okay, like a baby, like a small
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
And she was there with him. And when he touched the eye, for example, she stand up, stand up and gave him a timeout, you know, like, no. You are not allowed to do this.
Yeah.
So she allowed him exactly what I would allow.
Okay, yeah.
And when he made a mistake, like he did something what was not good,
mm-hmm.
She stood up and she walked away for 2 minutes and then she came back.
Oh, okay.
So I think if I would not see it, I would not believe it.
But yes, I can imagine.
Yes, but it was so. And I think that thanks to her, we had never problem that Remy would behave in a wrong way to a dog.
Okay, so she taught him how to behave with dogs.
Yes.
To be careful what is okay, what is not okay.
Yes, yes. To pet me, it's okay.
Yeah.
To play a bit with me, it's okay. To touch my eye, it's not okay.
It's not okay, yeah.
To put your fingers in my mouth, it's not okay.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I'm thankful that she entered my life.
Yes. Okay. I think you learned a lot from her.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And then came Kiki. So yes.
Yeah, so, I got many questions for Kiki. So maybe I'm going to read one out and you can tell something about it.
Yes.
Someone wrote, I've heard Martina on a YouTube video before. She mentioned that Kiki was quite a challenge when she was young. Would love to hear from her and how she managed to get Kiki ready for agility.
Yeah, so when Kiki was born, I felt that, okay, it's her.
That's, okay.
That she's for me. She was born for me. And she was the most energetic puppy of the litter. And yes, she was so cool. But yes, she was shy. Mm-hmm. She was scared. But what is important that I never see it. I never consider this as a problem. Because I was sure, absolutely sure, that we can manage this together.
Okay.
And for me, it was
so
like...
You always had a good feeling with her from the beginning.
Yes.
On.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, from the very beginning. Because I was sure, and I could see why she's scared. You know, it could be noise.
Okay,
it could be even some object. Mm-hmm. It, of course, it was dogs, people, and everything. But, you know, it was easy to read her.
Yeah,
it was like, was clear.
Yeah.
And I told you already, I'm a person who see the good in the dog, mm-hmm. you know, the good side. And I like to work with the good sides to make them even better, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if the dog has some bad sides, because I think every dog has a bad side.
Of course, yeah.
I'm a kind of person who I don't care, you know. I ignore it.
Okay.
And so I saw Kiki how she is, and I saw that she's a perfect dog for me. And I was sure that we can manage the fearness. And what is important that you believe in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a trusting process. That's important. The trusting process is very, very important. Because if you have a shy dog and you like have in your brain, in your head, oh my God, I have a shy dog, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because the dog feels that you don't trust them.
Yeah.
You know?
So you really try to ignore the weaknesses and to support the strength he's bringing with him?
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, you need to help them in some way to get stronger.
Yeah.
But I had already experienced, thanks to Choice, thanks to my second Mali, how to do it.
Yeah.
So from the very beginning, I offer Kiki a harbor. I mean, you know, if you are scared, no problem. Just you can jump on me and you can hide in my arms. And so that's okay. So this is very important for the shy dogs, that they understand that you are, I call it harbor, you know? So you are something, you are the safe place always.
Yeah.
So then when something gets wrong, they never run away from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very essential because
they know you protect them. Yeah.
Yes. So on one side, they know that you are there for them and you protect them. On the other side, you should never ever show them that they are right. Like, you know, if she was scared, I always stayed absolutely calm.
Mm-hmm. So you have been strong when she was scared.
Because we are examples. They they see how we behave.
Yeah.
So if you behave like a strong person, like there is nothing to be scared about. And I even didn't use much food. So I don't use food or treats in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the dog see other dog and the dog is scared, your dog is scared, and you start to feed him that I don't know what, they watch the look at the dog or something, I think that you tell them like, you see, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And we need to solve it. So I need to tell you how to behave, you know, I have to shape you how to behave.
Mm.
I don't know if I explain myself in a good way, but you know, it's like this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't use the treats, even mm-hmm. not, you know, nothing. If she was scared because there was a dog, okay, no problem. Jump in my arms and I could, or of the person, jump on my arms. I was always sure that nobody touched her. Mm-hmm. Nobody touches her when she's in my arms. So nobody was allowed to touch her because it's a safe place.
Yeah.
Only if she would give a sign that she would like to be touched, then of course,
yeah, okay,
you can be touched.
Yeah.
And then I just behave like normally. There is nothing. There is, you know, there is nothing to worry about, nothing to solve. And so this helped a lot on one side. And then what I did from the very beginning, I shaped her. Like I built or created quite difficult exercises for her
mm-hmm.
that she had to find a solution.
Okay, and so she had to think by herself.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. and I was training in the small area, you know, in the limited space, like in the bathroom.
Yeah, okay.
And so there was some exercise, and what I wanted her was to find some solution. And at the beginning, she tried like once, second time, she offered one behavior, then she offered the second behavior, and then, you know, she gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't feel good, of course, because she got like stressed or shy.
Yeah.
And I didn't react to this. So I didn't make her to continue, but I didn't mm-hmm. help her. And then she was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know, this. And then she could like hide in the corner. And then as soon as she offered another behavior, whatever, you know, I didn't care about which one, I praised her like she would win the world championship.
Okay.
So that she learned very fast that if there is a frustration, you know, there is some stress from the surrounding.
Yeah.
If you fight, you know, if you fight inside with it, you feel much better.
Okay. So it wasn't important for you what she offered, just something that she didn't give up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And not the same all again. So I didn't want to pattern. Mm-hmm. No, say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I have some plan in my head what I would like her to offer, but it was in my head and she cannot read my head.
Yeah. Yes.
So she cannot read my mind. So, yes, it was just about if you get frustrated or stressed, don't give up.
Okay.
You know? Try to solve it in other way.
Yeah.
And then I saw that she's using this strategy in a common life.
Mm-hmm.
So that she, of course, she is and she will be till the end of her life, this shy dog.
Yeah.
But she understands now how to work with it.
Okay, yeah.
She knows inside how to do it.
Find other solutions,
Yeah, so I think when she was 2-3 years old, you would not say this is the same shy puppy like she was.
Okay.
She was even now. So of course, if there is a really like very, very noise, some really strong mm-hmm. noise,
mm-hmm.
she still could have a reaction, but most of the people would not recognize it if you you know, somebody who understands dogs. And yes, so So it was in this way. Okay. She was born for me.
That's nice to hear. So someone's asking, will there be another Moody after Kiki?
Oh, so I cannot answer this one because I don't know.
Okay.
Now I hope we still have a lot of years together with Kiki. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I will not buy a Moody while Kiki is with me.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, you know, now I have a young border collie. Mm-hmm. She's 3 years old. And she's the dog of my dreams.
Ah, okay.
And maybe now you can wonder how it's possible that Bara, you know, the Mari, she was the dog mm-hmm. of my dreams. And then Kiki, she yeah. was definitely dog of my dreams.
Yeah.
And now I have a border collie. And again, she's the dog of my dreams. So if you maybe wonder how it's possible, so if I'm so lucky person or yeah. how it is. So yes, on one side, I think I'm a lucky person. On the other side is that the dog of my dreams, they could be dog of my dreams because I don't buy a dog to be to become a world champion, champion in agility. So what is common, for example, for Kiki and Nemi, even they are so different. So what is the same is they are so easy dogs for a life.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't need a leash with them. They are always close to me. Mm-hmm. Of course, I leash them if I have to, but otherwise I don't use leashes. And at home, they are so calm. You know, you don't know that they are, you know that they are here, mm-hmm. but, you know, they are just sleeping on the sofa, you know.
Yeah.
They are so easy. But from the very beginning, you know, they are so easy. Not destroying anything, not doing anything. Just, you know, they are sleeping.
Okay.
And then you go out and you are excited because, wow, we are going for 1 hour. And they are excited with you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I can walk them like 1 hour and they are super happy. And I can walk them like 8 hours and they are still super happy and still mm-hmm. full of energy.
Yeah.
And I can take them with the skis and they run like crazy and they don't care if it's snowing, raining, it's too hot or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So whatever I want to do with them, no better if it's the walk or it's the agility training or trick training or whatever, you know, they are always ready.
Okay.
And they are always so happy, you know, you can feel, you can see how happy they are, you know.
Yeah.
They are enthusiastic about everything we do together. And so they are so energetic on one side and then they are so calm on the other side.
Okay, so really so, perfect.
Yes.
Family dogs, sport dogs.
Yes.
Everything, yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I remember once, I don't know who I met, but I met somebody. It was in a town and it was some friend maybe of Carlo, I don't know. And Carlo said, yes, and this is Kiki, this is the world champion. And Kiki was there on the leash because she had to be on the leash in the town. And she was like sitting like, you know, like this sofa dog. Like without, you know, she was so calm.
Yeah.
And the person looked at her and this is a champion. and then Carlos showed the video and he said, oh my God, this is a different dog in the video.
Yes, yeah. Yes, but yeah. That's how it should be. It's perfect.
Yes. So and Nemi is pretty the same. So I mean the same for life, of course. We unfortunately we still didn't compete much, but I don't care about the results. So
yeah.
I'm happy she's so, like she's
maybe then one question that fits now. What do you like more, large or medium, to run in agility?
I think have, that
yeah.
No preferences.
No preferences,
it's
okay.
So it's so different. So
yes.
Different.
I think the same.
And I think that to run with Kiki, it was physically more difficult than to run with Emmy, my border collie.
Yeah.
And I think that, for example, to teach Kiki to work on the distance, you need to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
To teach, to teach Nemi, so that's the younger border collie, to work on the distance, it's for free.
Yeah, because I know what you mean, yes.
You tell the border collie out and she will run in the direction so long till she met obstacle and she will get it from outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that we cannot compare it because it's so different.
Mm.
And we cannot say what is easier and what is more difficult.
Okay.
Because I always said that the medium competition, like the top level competition, it's more about the training process, you know, about the training.
Mm.
Because you need to teach a dog, most of the medium dogs, you need to teach them a lot of skills.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And you need to support the speed because not all the medium top medium dogs, they run so fast from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that all of them, but most of them.
Most of them, yes. It's more work to make them run fast, yes.
Yes, so that's the tricky part, you know. While with the border collie, because the large is mostly about border collies, so, of course, there are huge differences in the border collies.
Mm.
But if you have the, like to say, the for agility easy one, or the correct one, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's not so much about the training anymore because the good handling is enough to have a good result.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You know, what I want to say, that it's so different. It's like, for me, it's a bit like different sport.
Yeah, yes, you're right. Okay, so let's switch the topic a little bit and go to a world championship. Have you ever like planned to compete at a world championship? Was it an aim for you?
Yeah, so I started with agility those 25 years ago. So I had a dream to compete at the world championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that maybe if I start, if I would start agility now, I had different goals.
Okay.
Because so many years ago, if you wanted to get to the top level, it was enough to train like twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was not so many people doing agility. So it was not that you need to qualify among, I don't know, 200 teams.
Yeah.
So the chance that you can get there was much higher.
Yes.
It means that the goal was like much closer. And then, of course, with my Mali, I got there. So I was a part of the national team for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it was like my dream, but maybe I would have different dreams if I started now.
Okay. So what kind of person are you more? Do you have high aims or are you more like, let's see what happens? Also, when you are qualified for a world championship, do you want to win, like be good? Or are you okay, I'm here, so I'm going to see what's going to happen?
Okay, I like perfection.
Yeah.
So my goal is to be able to run at least 80% clean runs at the mm-hmm. competition.
Yeah.
On the maximal possible speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so much about results, like I want to win the world championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in general, you need to be lucky, a bit lucky as well.
Of course, yes, yes.
And then I, in my opinion, not every dog can become a world champion.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean that they are limited physically, and some are limited mentally.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust that with a good training, you can help them so much, and you can get very good results with every working dog. I'm working, mm-hmm. okay, working dogs, of course. If you have a bus set, you never get a good results because
yeah.
the
yeah.
legs are missing. But yes, so yes, I am a person who has a clear plan,
mm-hmm.
but not clear goals, but not connected with the results.
Okay. So when you are standing on the starting line at the World Championship, what are your thoughts then? So maybe you have, we all know the boxes, so you have three competitors left till you are, till it's your turn. So what are your thoughts then?
I mean that maybe I will surprise some of you. I'm a very stressed person.
Okay. Yes, I know this.
Yes. So, and I don't know. As all the ladies are like me, but when I'm stressed, I need to talk. And I talk about stupid things.
Yeah.
I talk.
Okay.
I talk to my dog or I talk to the team leaders, whatever, you know. And it helps me to release the stress a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But once I enter the ring, I'm not stressed anymore. And I'm not thinking about anything but the handling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I created this thanks to my training system and my handling system, because my goal is that I handle the dog like automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Let me to explain this better. So like if you have the first lesson in the driving school, so you drive like 40 kilometers per hour and, you know, you are so scared and you are thinking how to, you know, how to turn the car and stop and how much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so difficult for us because we need to think about every single part of the complex behavior. But later, now, so we are driving, listening to the radio and talking to somebody else, and still we drive safe and we have all the situation perfectly under control. Okay, mm-hmm. we should.
And normally we have, yeah.
Yes. And we don't think anymore about the driving the car itself.
Yeah, okay.
So we have to observe the surrounding, but you don't think anymore, you know, how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because we use the other part of the brain, the brain for automatic behavior, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this part of the brain is not influenced much with the stress.
Okay, yeah.
So my goal is that the agility language, I mean the verbal cues, body signals, and weight shift,
mm-hmm.
became automatical. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then, even I'm so stressed, my performance is not influenced by this.
Okay, I understand. Yes.
So that's the first point, and the second point is that I absolutely trust my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that the dogs are more handy than we are.
Yeah.
And I always try to put a lot of responsibility on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And I am sure that if I do this, my dog will do that. And if I do this, my dog will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach them a lot of skills. And I think that it helps a lot, not only in the way that then it's easier to handle them, but it helps even mentally to feel more confident.
Yeah.
So once I took Kiki in my arms and I stepped in the agility course, it could be the world championship. It could be like it was often to run as a last in the team competition and you need to do the clean run.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sure, you know, I was sure I'm going to do clean run. We can do it. And I know how to do it. So then you don't think about anything else but hunting.
Okay. Oh, that's a good comparison with the driving. Yes. Very, very interesting. What did you feel when you became world champion for the first time? Do you remember?
Yes, of course. So I think I could divide it to be kind of first time the world champion in the teams and then in the dual.
Yeah.
So in teams, it was Liberec. So it was even at home, you know, in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I'm the person who loves team competition.
Yes.
And I love the cooperation with other teams and making plans, you know. And I think that our Czech medium team is quite famous because we won so much.
Yeah.
And it was so nice because everybody has his own role. Like for me, it's very important the first one as well, because if the first one
makes a
clean run, then everything is much easier.
Yeah.
And so we did it in Liberec, and it was stressful because I had to finish the course. Even with one fault would be okay, because Kiki was in a season and I had to run as the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really stressful, that I had to wait quite long for my start.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Knowing that if I finish well, we are the world champions.
Mm-hmm.
But for luck, the automatic pilot started. And we did the clean run. And I still remember how happy we were at the finish. And what is really amazing that you celebrate, not just you, but, you know, the team. The team can celebrate together and you share the happiness. So, yes, I will still remember it forever. That's forever.
Yeah.
And the first Indura title, so that was absolutely unexpected. It was in Luxembourg. Mm-hmm. It was the most difficult world championship in my life because Remy was 8 months old baby and I was fully breastfeeding him.
Okay.
And Kiki was again in the season, of course.
Yeah.
So that she couldn't stay with the team in the room we had.
Okay.
Because we had males in the team.
Yeah.
So, of course, I didn't want to make them trouble. And unfortunately, the camping car was parked quite far away. I think 10 minutes walk from the hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I only remember to run for Kiki and back with Kiki and run something and breastfeeding Remy in between and helping the team with the course walking and breastfeeding again. So it was, and then, you know, you need to plan the breastfeeding. Because then maybe you can't. So, yes. So, for luck, Remy was cooperating so well from the very beginning. And I remember that we were sleeping like 2 days in a row after the World Championship, both me and Remy. And, it was wonderful. I remember that I was going to the start line and... I think I was fourth in the jumping. I'm not so sure, but I guess so. I was fourth. Mm-hmm. And the Werner, he already finished clean. And it was amazing run. And I know that they didn't know that Kiki's in the heat and she can still fight for the
body. Okay, yes, yes.
So then I felt sorry a bit with him because he thought that he's the world championship.
Okay.
World champion.
World champion, yes.
Yes. But then we were running with Kiki, and I still remember the course. Yes, I remember it. I remember every part of the course.
Okay.
And then we finish, and then I see that it's a clean run, and I was so happy, and my husband was there in the finish. And then I looked at the board and I saw that we won. And I was not able to believe it.
Yeah.
And I was so happy, but I think I started to believe it 2 days after the world championship, after 2 days sleeping. I woke up and like, oh my God, it was not a dream. I did it. So yes, it was in this way.
Very, very nice. Did these thoughts change with every title you reached? Or is it still the same, the same feeling?
I have the same
feeling. Where is the difference between the first time and the last time? It's still the same. You are still overwhelmed then.
Yeah, so the last time I won in Sweden, and that was so special as well.
Yes.
Because if you are going with 10 and a half years old down to the World Championship, you really don't plan that you are going to win it, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was going there and I was like, I want to do the best for my team. And I was dreaming to get the medal with my team. Mm-hmm. And we were second in the teams. So I was so happy after first 2 days. And then we ran jumping and Kiki was sixth. And I felt that, oh my God, she's quite pushy. She's quite running.
Yeah.
And then we were running the agility final.
Mm-hmm.
And this is again something I will never, ever forget in my life. Because I don't know where she took the energy to run for so fast. You know, so 4 days competition and 10 and a half years old dog. And she, I don't know, I think she really felt that it's so important for me. And she was running like crazy and she won.
Crazy.
Yes.
Really, really crazy. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your own training. But before, I read in the introduction that you sent to me that you finished your studies to work as a veterinarian, but you choose to be a dog trainer. Is that right?
Yes.
Was that a difficult decision for you? Or was it always, was it a difficult decision for you? Or was it always clear that you wanted to be the dog trainer?
I was sure about that I want to be a dog trainer since I was 16 years old.
Okay.
And in that time, of course, it was not a common profession. Okay, even now it's not so common profession, but we know that it's possible to live with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm a person who is following the dreams. So it was my dream and I felt that this is something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to finish the veterinarian university because, I think the education is quite
important.
Always good.
Still important, yeah. always
good to have. But
yeah.
I was sure when I was entering the university that I'm not going to work as a vet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really happy that I finished the school because the basic knowledge, or it's not the basic, but the knowledge from the university helps me a lot.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the anatomy and histology and biochemy and physiology and, you know, so all of these, it helps you to see the things from different points, from different views.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, now where we live, it's so beautiful place, but of course there is no physiotherapist. I mean, the dog's physiotherapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm really happy that I'm able to treat my dogs myself.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect.
And yes, and I would like to thank a lot to Deborah Severo. She's an Italian physiotherapist, and I think she's really one of the best people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
because what I love on her is that she's not following just one direction, like only osteopathy on or only chiropraxy on or only I don't know craniosacral therapy. She follows everything, you know, and then she can choose what is the best for the moment, at the moment, for this dog in this situation. And I was so lucky and I'm honored that I was allowed to learn from her.
Ah, okay.
Of course, yeah. I know just 1% from what you know, but that's enough for my dogs, because mm-hmm. I know what is the weak point, you know, the weak parts of the bodies, and I know how to treat them, how to massage them, how to help them, and, mm-hmm. you know, on what to focus. But I'm sure that without being a veterinarian, I would not be able to get so many information from Deborah in a short time.
Okay, yeah. So it now helps you to for your own dogs.
Yes, and that's then perfect. I think, yes, and it helps me even to see better the movement of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So then it might help even while you are training, you observe the dog's movement better, and that can mm-hmm. help. Like to understand better the jumping technique and this similar things.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting. Okay, so then let's talk about your own agility training a little bit. Just tell us something about it. So what's important for you? How often do you train? Do you train alone or with others?
So for me, what is important is a balance.
Mm-hmm.
So everything should be in a balance and everything should be like symmetric. I mean that if I train the titans to the left, I should turn the same to the right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, during 1 week, not in at one moment.
In the whole, yeah, in one general, training, yeah. Yeah.
And we should focus on different topics in the training. So mm-hmm. I'm not just running the sequences or not the courses. I think that every small part of the training I do, it's very important. So I follow my fitness program with my dogs. It's like yoga or Pilates for humans, but I practice this with dogs.
Yeah.
So I focus on the fitness effect. And that means that, for example, I don't use much shaping. I can use even the luring. I can even help the dog. I mean gently, like holding mm-hmm. them a bit or move the leg. Of course, mm-hmm. I prepare them for this, because some dogs, they could not feel comfortable if you would like to move them to the leg, you know, one leg, to be sure that they stand absolutely symmetric.
Yeah.
So some dogs, they don't care, but some dogs, they could, they might have like problems with this. So that's the fitness part of the training. And then I play special games. I call it special games. It's type of shaping. And there I focus on the challenging the dog's brain. So they need to think a lot, you know?
Okay.
And so that's the shaping. And of course, there are some collateral effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can shape the jumping style. And you can build the independency. And you can build the perfect verbal cues understanding. And then, of course, I have games where I support the acceleration. Or where I support the, we call it drive. You know, to be so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the games where the dog learns how to still use the brain while being in a high drive. So, for example, with Nemi, my new border collie, 3 years old, when I'm going to the start line or we are going to train, she's really crazy. So normally in a common life, she's quite like calm dog, but once she's in agility, she turned to the devil. I said that she's an angel turning to the devil. And so she's so excited, but we want this excitement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we really want and what we really need is that the dog still can use a brain.
Yeah, of course.
So she's so excited, but thanks to all the games we did, she's like, she's always perfectly following my cues.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, she's the type of dog of perfection dog.
Okay.
And so I train with the dogs almost every day, but it doesn't mean that I run agility every day.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have a plan for a week, for a month, for a half year, and I follow it. Of course, I can change the plan according to the situation.
Yeah.
And I want to be sure that the training is balanced in many different ways during a week.
Okay.
So that I train everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I train these small games, like fitness and special games exercises and tricks, mostly I train alone, because mm-hmm. then I train with all my free dogs. So I train yeah. with two border collies and a Murikiki. While when I train 1-2 jumps exercises or sequences or courses, I always train with my husband, Carlo. Mm-hmm. He has a buddy. Yes, she's incredibly fast. So she's a super, super sparring partner. Because, you know, we just do the best with Nemi to get close to their times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we measure the time a lot.
Okay.
And when it's possible, I like to train a lot with my friends. So here in Italy, I have like 3 friends. We train quite often together. Okay, now mm-hmm. a bit difficult with lockdowns, but at least we try once a week. And I like it a lot because I can discuss them with mm-hmm. them, you know. So I watch their talks, of course.
Yeah.
But because they already know me so well, they know my method. Okay, they follow my handling system and my training program. And they know it a lot. They know it well. But they know myself well as well. They know how I run, how I handle. Mm-hmm. And they know Nemi from the very beginning. So I really like to listen to what they tell me, you know, what their opinion, because
yes,
it helps a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have a question from someone who's asking, what's the most important thing in training young dogs, in your opinion?
Okay, so first of all, I think it's very important, again, to find this balance and symmetry to support development of all possible parts, you know? So not only the brain, but even the proprioception mm-hmm. and balance, and to work on the strong relationship. Because as I told you already, I don't think that the treats and the toy are the best motivation. So yeah. my goal is that my puppy doesn't work for the treats or toys. I use them in the training, of course, but my goal is that they become confirmation. Like mm-hmm. now you did well. Mm-hmm. And the dog is rewarded, not by the fact that they got the treat or the toy, but they are rewarded from inside. And they are rewarded because I'm happy. So my happiness and the inside feeling is the best motivation, the best reward ever. And
okay.
I do my best to get to this with the puppy as soon as possible. For example, so the dogs are very similar to us, to human. So for example, if we do something for others, we can give more effort to that than when we do it only for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that, for example, you are mother of a family and at the evening you are tired. And if you were alone, you would not cook a dinner. You would just take something and that's all.
Yeah.
But because you love your family and you know that they are maybe hungry and maybe they really want something what they like, you cook for them. You put the special effort because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want create by my dog.
Okay.
And the second is this motivation. It's coming from inside that every working dog has inside. And I do my best to open it. It's like when you like to ski, for example, you like the ski because you like the process of skiing. So nobody has to pay you for going to the slope and put the skis on. And it might be even a bit cold for you, you know, you are a bit frozen, but you still go and you still ski because there is this strong motivation from mm-hmm. the inside.
Okay.
And maybe you fall, of course, at the beginning, everybody are falling, but you stand up again and again and again. And then you feel that, wow, I did 2 turns and I did it great. And it was under my control. Wow. And you are rewarded by these feelings. And this is the best motivation as well. So these two motivations, the inside feelings and the inside feelings of well done and the feeling after that my happiness, you know, makes happy my dog.
Yeah.
So this is very important. So I focus on this. And I'm really, really careful is not to destroy the dog physically till they are adult. Because if you compare the puppy, you know, Andy, my Wolfspitz, when she was 6, 7 months old, and you compare it to nowadays border collies, 6, 7 months old, you would think that it's not the same age.
Mm-hmm.
In the movement, it's not the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Because my Spitz puppy was a puppy. So you see in the movement that she's a puppy. She even couldn't run fast, body under the control. But if you see a 6 or 7 month or border collie, they already move like adult dogs.
Yeah.
But they are still puppies. The proper reception, it's not ready. It's not developed. I mean, like fully developed. The same, the balance, the coordination, the muscles, which protects the joints and the ligaments. But they already has the speed as an adult dog with all those protections. So I'm very, very careful that my young dogs do not change the direction in a full speed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sharp changes. It doesn't mean they don't run fast when they are young.
Yeah.
But only straight lines.
And okay.
So it means like when I'm going here and I release them on the middle, of course they can run fast. It's okay. Only I'm careful that one border collie would not watch other dog and then crash something. So I have the rules. I'm careful with this as well because I know what they can do. You know, we know the stories. The dog was running like crazy, turning to the left because watching other dog.
Yes, boom, yes, the tree. Yes.
So I feel responsible for my young dogs because I know that it's not the nature who chose them. I mean, it's not the nature anymore who chooses the dogs for breeding.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human who does it. Yeah. So the dogs are very, very different from the natural form.
Yes.
And that is why they can be dangerous to themselves.
Okay.
And so no sequencing when till the dog is not matured.
Hmm.
I started the 1-2 jumps exercises with Nemi when she was 14 months old.
Okay.
It's okay for me to train the grits with the stride regulators.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the turns, like the soft turns and tight turns. Why? Because you can do it step by step and you can set up the exercise in the way that the dog has you are sure that the dog has the movement under their control. because of the stride regulators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you build a habit, you build understanding, and then you can add more and more speed, so you can connect the grids, you can add your handling inside.
Yeah.
But you are sure that the dog, or okay, you are never sure, but you know, because the accident can happen always.
Yeah, yes, right.
But there is high chance that you don't put too much pressure on the dog's body.
Okay. Okay. Another question is, do you attend workshops from other trainers? Do yourself?
No. Okay, I no. did, I did. I was okay. By Susan Garrett.
Yeah, you told me in the beginning, yes.
Yes, and I took part of, and that was really, really good, the workshop of Susan Salo.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And yes, so I did. Now it's a long time I didn't, because later with Kiki, for example, I didn't feel like I need to enter a workshop with Kiki, like the common agility workshop, because she was not a dog that you can run a lot in one day.
Mm-hmm.
It put too much pressure on her body.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I didn't think that we need some advice. Like, you always need advices.
Yes, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yes, but I need advices from somebody who knows me,
yeah,
who knows my methodic and the handling system, and who knows Kiki. So I was training a lot with my very good friend in Czech. Now we cannot train so much because of the COVID situation and because she lives so far away now, because she lives in Czech and I live in Italy. And with Jana Zvonková. So with her, we train a lot together. And it helped me a lot because I like her opinion. And I like, we still talk together, of course, because thanks to the online support, we can talk. So talking to her, just it could be even that she wanted to talk about some her student, and talking with her, I always got a lot of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so in this way it's good.
Okay.
Now I would like to attend a seminar with Nemi because I think that would have sense.
Yeah.
Because I think we can benefit from it, but now it's impossible because of the COVID situation.
Yes, of course. Yes. yes. Are there people in agility who inspire you and who do you admire? Like you see them running and think, wow, that's great.
Oh, yeah. So I have some people I follow, of course.
Yeah.
I have some people I really admire, but it's not connected with their results.
Okay.
I mean, but it's always a bit connected with the results. But working with dogs for so many, many years, I know that if you are really lucky and you have a perfect dog, you can win without being a perfect trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have to be handy. I don't want to say, okay, I don't want to, that somebody take it like that I mean that some world champion doesn't deserve it. No, that I didn't want to say.
Yeah.
I mean that I'm admiring and searching for the people that I have a feeling I can learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many. So
okay.
I don't want to say a name because then maybe I forget one.
Yes.
And I don't feel good later. So yes, there are people I follow. Yes, there are people I admire. No, it's not connected only with the results.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's important that I can see that the person is able to work with different dogs.
Yeah, okay. Do you think there are disadvantages in being a well-known agility person?
No.
No, I don't see.
No, I don't think.
That's good.
I don't think in which way it should be disadvantage. So, no.
Okay, perfect. So I still could ask you a lot of questions, but we finally have come to an end. I only have like a little game for you in the end. I would like to complete the sentences. So you should complete them. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. Agility means to me
a lot of fun.
My favorite obstacle is?
You will be surprised, maybe. Now it's a dog walk. I love it.
Okay. Okay. The most important sentence I've ever heard is?
Take it easy.
Okay. What I would like to say to all agility people?
So I would like to tell them what I read and what I really, really like. And it's always remember, why did you buy your first dog?
Okay.
So I would like them to not to buy the dog and to dream immediately, oh, I will get the world champion. Because it, you know how many people we are, and they can be only one world champion per category per year.
Yes.
So it means that so many people is going to be confused.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the best you can do is to enjoy the common life with your dog. So for me, that should be the reason why you buy a dog. I buy a dog to have a friend, to have fun. And you know, it's so nice that you need to walk them. It's raining and you would stay home, but you need to walk them. And then you exit and you see the happiness and you feel so much better even it's raining. So that's really wonderful. So if you want to have a goal, like an important goal, my advice is, your goal can be 80% of a wonderful clean runs at the competition, because everybody can reach it. I mean, you know, it's not connected with how many people is doing agility.
Mm-hmm.
And have fun.
Okay. That's very, very nice words to the end.
Thank you.
Martina, thank you very, very much for the interview. It was really, really nice. And yes, as I said, I could have asked you a lot of more questions, but I think we would never stop then.
Yeah, too much talking, yes.
No problem. I like that. So thank you very much and have a nice evening.
Thank you.